Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. This is Iris, and I'm your host for today, and pretty much the rest of the days. You are on Blog Talk Radio, and we are talking today about Jesus, the bondage breaker. Scripture settled is on Romans 8:15. I felt led to talk to you about the spirit of bondage because it's not just a spirit, it's a strong man. And we're going to get into those details, but first I want to talk to you about the spirits that accompany the spirit of bondage. You have the spirit of fear. You have the spirit of fear of death. You have addictions, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food. Anything that's very addictive and mind-controlling is an addiction, something you can't live without, no control over, addiction. The certain find Luke 8:34. The captivity to Satan in 2 Peter 2:19. Compulsive sin is inequity. It's when a person has a habit of always sinning. And the last one I have here is to sin. So in 2 Timothy 2:26. The strong man works very closely with the spirit of fear. Anything that has a fear of the spirit, it's where you'll find the strong man bondage. Okay? Abba is a very personal word that is used to know one's father. Okay? Why do I say that? It's because people in bondage do not have a hard time understanding God as a father because they're in bondage. Their eyes are not able to see clearly. So they don't have a relationship with God that longs, you know, they don't understand the loving father. So this is why it's important to talk about bondage, because we want people to realize that if you're in bondage, then you need to be set free. You want to be free to see. So let's just take a minute to invite God into this conversation. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have set your son, and Jesus is the ultimate bondage breaker, and that he's come to set the captives free, God. Father, we thank you, Father, for the anointing you're placing on this teaching to remove bondages or to awaken those who are set in bondage. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would have your way in this moment of time. In Jesus' name. So now that God is invited in, see, it's very important that when you have a relationship with someone that you invite them in into what you're doing. That goes for anything. If you have a husband or wife or whatever the case may be, you invite them in. You want people to come in. So bondage is a very tormenting place to be. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of abandonment. It's lonely. It's a battle between good and bad. You know, when I sat in bondage, it was very tormenting. It was very, you can sense that you were in a place of wicked. When you want to do good, you can't seem to do yourself to do good. And when you want to do, when you do want to do the bad, you find yourself wanting to do the good. That's bondage. There's no balance in bondage. The relationship with God, the relationship that God longs to have for us is that he can be the loving father and gathering us to him and loving us with an everlasting love and just being with us. And he does not like to see his children in bondage. And sinners that accept Christ, sinners see accepting Christ and too much to give up. The mistake that they make is that they value. So the problem here is that the sinners are making is that they value too much on the things, on the stuff. It's too much to give up. A sinner sees accepting Christ as it's too much for me to give up. it's just too much for me to just, I just can't let it all go. I'm not going to stop drinking. I'm not going to stop smoking. Well, can I tell you it's a process? Can I tell you it doesn't happen overnight? If you believe and you know that things don't happen overnight, then you will trust God to do the good work in you, as it says in Philippians, that he will do the good work in you. But you have to believe that, and you have to stop listening to the voice of Satan that tells you that you're never too that good, and you're just not that holy, or you just can't be that hypocrite, and you refuse to be that person because you're just a person who's real. He's a liar, and he just wants to keep you in that habit. Because when you're a sinner, you're tightly bounded to habits and addictions that you already had coming from the world. It keeps you anchored to Satan's web. So total bondage does not happen in a day. Total deliverance of bondage does not happen in a day. It's a series of steps that it's needed, that needs to be taken. Okay? The light in God's word reveals the truth. The true condition of what is going on with you, where are you really in your life, and it awakens you, and this is why it's important for you to read the Word of God. I know it must sound like, oh, I don't know how to read the Bible, or I just can't seem to get myself into it. Well, then force yourself to get into it, just like it's okay and easy breeze for you to cop those drugs, easy breeze for you to get high, it's easy breeze for you to open up a can of liquor. I don't care in what bondage you sit in, you need to sit in the Word of God to reveal your eyes and waken you to what is your true condition right now as a victim of Satan. What is your true condition? Okay? You need freedom. You need freedom. See, when you come into repentance and you repent to Jesus, say, God, Jesus, I want you to have you as my Lord and Savior. I am a sinner, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do it. Jesus says, I am here, and I come to cut the webs and the strings of Satan off your life. And he does it instantaneously. He doesn't wait till tomorrow. He does it right now, the minute you open your heart. Okay? And us as believers who are not sitting in bondage should have a heart of sorrow for those who are sitting in bondage that know Christ. We should reap, we should know, we should repent for them and become a Jeremiah and repent for this nation that knows Christ but is sitting in bondage. It's not an easy thing to say, yeah, they were once a pastor and they fell, or yeah, they were once an evangelist and they fell, and then you leave it that way. You pray for that person. You pray to uplift them. You pray that they will come back. Do not weep. Do not put yourself in a place where you no longer weep for the, you know, many times we don't know why. It's a mind-boggling thing when we find out people came into Christ and they no longer serve, and we don't have the answers to it, but we do have one thing, one key that will help, and that's the key of intercession for them. There's one thing you need to know. We need to know to follow the word and not our emotions. Okay, emotions are not your friends. They will lead you astray. Removing bondage, okay, you need to speak life into those voids that you are holding on to. There are things from childhood, and there are things that need to be removed, and you need to speak life into that area. All right, so if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, we must stop doing things that lead us to bondage, that leads us back to sin. If you don't have any control, ask God for the control. See, because Satan had the power of death at one time, but Jesus came and took those keys. So Satan no longer has the power of death or sin over your life. It is a mind thing at this moment. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says that Jesus came and took the keys from him. And so whatever you're going through right now is a battle of the mind, and he's very happy sitting back watching you go through this hell in your own mind. Because you're the first one to say, I can't do it. You're the first one to say, I can't come out. You're the first one to tell you. You're the first conversation you have with yourself in the morning. Those who are dealing with impossible people, Christians, that are not sitting in bondage, and you have impossible people. Each one of us has someone who isn't in such bondage to sin in our families, in our spouses, in our siblings. They all have given up, okay? But we, as children of the Lord, as people who sit in righteousness, who love to seek the justice of God, should not stop praying and interceding for those people who are impossible. We are not to give up on prayer, okay? Because even though they come into a point where these impossible people tune us out and they even turn us off, we are not to give up on them, because God says as long as there's hope,
then you should start praying, fasting, and weeping for those who you've lost hope for. If you don't feel hope anymore, then you need to get back on your knees, ask the Lord for repentance for being such a negative, judgmental person who gave up on people that you felt was impossible because you were led by your emotions. We need to come back into the place of a Christ mind mentality. Jesus had only 3 years and he had to keep it moving, but I'm sure if he had a longer time period, Jesus would make remarkable impressions on the impossibles. Where is Jesus in your life? As a Christian, where is Jesus in your life? When praying for the impossible person, you have to bind the spirit of bondage that keeps them bound in sin. But as you bind up that spirit, you have to release the spirit of adoption to begin the good work of the Holy Spirit in them. The Spirit of the Lord, okay? The Spirit of the Lord brings people to the Lord. Okay, it puts them in decisions. It puts them in the valley of decisions. Okay, these impossible people would press in to the valleys of decisions. The Holy Spirit will lead them there. We understand that they still have their own free will, but the Holy Spirit draws them to that moment of decision where they're quickly in their spirit, felt and know, and they start to cry out, God, I need you. I have nothing else left. I'm in the valley of decision. When the spirit of bondage is shackled, when you bind the spirit of bondage, okay, you know what it does? It shuts them down for a season of that impossible person's life. So there'd be a season that you can bound up the spirit of bondage in this person for a season that's bringing hindrance. You know what can happen in a season? A transformation, life-changing reformation can happen in a season. People have been changed in seasons. Seasons change in seasons. You have winter, summer, spring, and fall. They change in seasons. Our intercessions for them will bring joy. Okay, you know why? Because when you begin to intercede for someone you know, feel everyone has said that they've given up on, no one's interceding for them, but you refuse to back down. You continue to pray for them, and you continue to bind up that spirit on them. And when they walk into that church, or they walk into that place where you see that they're coming in for their salvation, that they're coming in to reconcile with the Lord, there is joy, and there is joy, and dance with the angels. And that's the reward of intercession. That's the reward to see the prayers of God answered, to see people delivered. That's the reward of intercession. If you ask, why do I have to intercede? You have every reason to intercede. There is joy. There is recovery. There's a reward. All right, we know some people are quick to get deliverance and quick to change, but some are stubborn. There's people that just are stubborn, and you just have to continue to pray, because stubborn people have a lot of hurt, and all they see is hurt, okay? And they like to hurt people because they're hurt. Hurt people hurt people. Do you get it? So you have to keep that in mind. Hurt people hurt people. That's just it. You have to pray for love in their life. Okay? Heaven honors our prayer of the binding and loosing. They honor it. Heaven honors it. We have the authority to bind things and loosen things. So don't ever think it's something that's gone in vain. God honors it. Do it each time that the Holy Spirit nudges you to do it. Because the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to come into agreement with God's will for that person's life. Each time you bind the strong man, you bind for a season, and it hinders and it influences them. And don't forget to bind the strong man and release the spirit of adoption. There might be other strong men binded to them, but then you release the positive. If there's error, then you release the positive spirit of truth. If they're deceived, then you revert it. You bring them back to positive. You cannot take something out of a hole and leave the hole empty. You have to replace it with something good. So in that hole, let's say, okay, you're taking something out of a hole. Let's say you're removing a plant. You're removing the roots and there's a hole in the ground. Now you have to plant a new seed. So you have to put the seed of truth in that ground. So it would begin to be watered by God and filtered by God. And by the time you come to, there's something good in them that will help them come out of this bondage. This is a call for Jesus, who is the bondage breaker, and he can break all things. Do not limit him as if he can't handle anything. He came here for 3 years to just demonstrate how we are to live our lives. And it wasn't because he had God, because everyone who is a believer has the Spirit of God in them. What is the excuse that we cannot perform a life Christ-like? The only excuse you have is the lack to want to learn, the lack to not want to do, the lack to want to compromise, the lack to want to settle. That's lack. That has nothing to do with Jesus. That has everything to do with you and your heart issues. Allow yourself to be delivered. Be cleansed up. Be broken down. Let yourself be broken so you can be built back up, be mended back up. Let this season put you in a place where you're in constant prayer and interceding for those around you, for yourself, and begin to be a laid-down lover who will fast and weep for those who won't. This is the season that you need to come into this place already so you can be part of the glory of God that he's coming to reign in any hour, any time. This 2015, God's going to pour out his spirit, and you want to be sensitive to know when it's happening, and you can't do it when you're in bondage because you're blind. So I hope that this teaching will help you to realize that there's something wrong with you and you need to have yourself cleansed. You need to have yourself mended. Yes, you are broken, but you can be fixed because Jesus is the one who fixes. He's the one who repairs bondages. He's the one who fills the holes. So until the next time, stay tuned and continue to, if you have to rehear this word again and hear it again, let it soak in you. I will put up the scriptures that were based on all this, and I hope that the bondage will be broken in your lives and that Jesus will begin to do the mighty work as he promised that he would do over you. So let us pray out. Father, we thank you for this hour, Lord. I thank you for the seeds you are planting, Father. I thank you that you come in abundance to pour out your love, to pour out healing right now in this hour, Father, that anyone who is sitting in bondage, even those who believe that will be delivered and will see again and will feel again and will love again. And we ask, Father, that you would seal this in Jesus' name. So stay tuned for our upcoming radio station. I'm happy to be here to help. You can always email us at burn@isaiah60international.org. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. We would even make personal phone calls for consultation. So we thank you for tuning in, and we say be blessed.